The first time I met this young man, he was certainly a captivating little guy, bound to a wheelchair, never to speak a single word, and yet he mesmerized me. His faith was strong, his eyes fixed on something greater than we could even grasp. For little Donnie, he was born into the world with such severe handicap that he would never speak a word till the day he arrived in heaven a few years ago. And when I think back about Donnie's story, it's a story of a little boy who realized something, that when his mom and dad would take him to church, that he would find the peace he needed. He would find the joy. Never being able to utter a word, he was taught by God. He was taught by God how to love and express himself, how to encourage and bless. And when I think about the story of that little boy, no doubt being birthed so severely disabled, and yet being birthed to accomplish a purpose. And what you discover in life is that God intends to teach all of us. And one of the ways I knew that he was learning and connecting into God's purpose was he would constantly listen to different sermons. And he would listen to them over and over again on a given day. And his mother, quite frankly, got tired of listening to me and Dr. Stan and several other people because he had all these tapes he would listen to. But he knew when they began. He knew how they started. And his mother oftentimes would take the tape recorder and run the tape forward, trying to cut the sermon short so she wouldn't have to listen to it one more time, which some of you probably would like to do that. Cut that thing short and get to the point and be done. But the truth of the matter is that every time, and I can see this so vividly, every time his mother would try to cut that short, Donnie would start doing this. He'd start waving his arm, and immediately the mother knew he caught me because he was attentive. Watch this. He was attentive to the concepts of the Bible. And no doubt, as he heard sermons, whether it be about heaven, whether he heard sermons about different things, at the end of his life story, he had hundreds of tapes. And all of them were connected into him being taught to learn how to become who God wants him to be. And as I thought about his story today and what we look at today, because today we look at something very powerful that Paul conveys to the church at Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And as you're turning there, this is the story of what happens when people are taught by God. And what I want you to think about today is this. Someone can teach you a lesson. It may stay with you for a little while. But if God teaches you a lesson, it lasts a lifetime. It stays with you forever. I can remember so vividly the day that the Lord taught me as a teenager about how to obey him at the point of stewardship. I can remember it so vividly because it caused me to go into this process of calculation of how often had I been disobedient in my early years of life, from working at A&W Root Beer and throwing newspapers and mowing lawns, never ever thinking about there was a way in which I could honor God with all that. And what you discover is he teaches you a lesson. When you get it, it stays with you forever. And when I think about my life story, it's all connected to the things he's taught me, the lessons he's conveyed to me. And when I think about Donnie, I want you to think about this. Paralyzed in a wheelchair, but in his spirit set free because God was teaching him. And today we have the opposite. We are free in our bodies, but sometimes paralyzed in our spirits because we don't allow him to teach us what he wants to teach us, how he wants to convey truth to it, how he wants to give us opportunities to learn from him. So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we begin reading, and I want us to look at something, and I don't want you to see today, because today is a unique service. It's split apart into two unique segments. The first one is a chance to be taught by God through his word. The second one is to be taught by Jesus as we commune together. Because what communion is an intimate lesson of learning that God gives us every time we do it. And when the scripture says, you do this in remembrance of me, every time you do it, what he was saying was, I'm teaching you this, it comes from God. And so what you think about today in your own life, if God's trying to teach you something and he's ingraining something inside of you and he's given you the formula for it, then you need to be willing to submit yourself to it. And I'll never forget, I was in college with Cindy at Oklahoma Baptist University, and I had certain classes I had to take in order to get my degree, and one of the classes was statistics. And I didn't like the subject at all, didn't like the teacher at all, but one thing I did like about him, he wasn't concerned about us memorizing everything. He just wanted to make sure we knew where we could find the answer. And so he said to us the very first day of class, I'll never forget walking in, he said, now look, many of you could never pass this class without this rule. And here's the rule. In the back of your book, you can write every formula that I'm going to share during the entire semester. And on your final exam, you can take your book, you can bring your book, you can bring your Bible, you can bring anything, whatever you need to pass the test. Well, you know, the truth is, I wrote down that every formula. In fact, I think I still have that book. And the reality is, if you asked me today to do a statistical formula based in a class I took in college, you know what I'd say to you? Find someone else. Because, watch this, I didn't learn it. I didn't learn it for to stay with me for a lifetime. I learned it to make an A for just a few minutes. And you know what's interesting? Sometimes in life, God tries to teach us something, and we write it down, but we don't apply it. And when we don't apply it, it does not guide us to where He wants us to go. And so I want you to think about, in your own journey of faith, what happens if you live out what Paul says here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Look at verse 9 and notice what he said. Now, as the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. Don't miss that phrase. For indeed, you do practice toward all the brethren who are in Macedonia, but we urge you, brethren, to excel still more and to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life and attend to your own business and work with your own hand, just as we command you, so that you'll behave properly towards outsiders and not be in any need. Now, when you read that, I want you to see that phrase, because this concept of being taught by God is one of the things that is interlaced throughout the entire Bible. Because when the people were disobedient in the Old Testament, what did God ultimately say to them? I'll take your heart of stone and I'll give you a new heart. And why did he say that? Because he knew something. If you're to be who you're supposed to be, if you're going to be engaged in what God wants to do through you, you have to have the right kind of heart. You got to be used by Him in the right way. And so today, as you think about that, the lessons He's taught you. How many lessons do you recall that God taught you? How many lessons do you recall that you go, you know what? I know that was from Him. It couldn't have come any other place. This weekend, we had a privilege of being with lots of our men on a men's retreat, and I thank all the men who had the privilege of being able to come. Many could not schedule-wise, but it was an amazing time. And during the entire time, we tried to really just take two very distinctive aspects of being able to be on fire for God and build parallel comparisons so that a person could get them. And if you ask any man who's on that retreat, they can tell you that based in the authority of God's word, whether it's the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or whether it's the story of Isaiah speaking, one of the things you learn is when you're with Him, if you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. You will learn how to live a consistent life. If you're thrown into the pit, you'll learn what commitment's all about. Lessons that are all linked to God's word that can stay with you for a lifetime. And it's my prayer that all of our men who were engaged in that time of study will come away going, you know what? God taught me something. He taught me something. Because here's what I want you to see. If you recall what it is He's taught you, then you'll start grasping something. Because eternal lessons that are etched on our hearts, those eternal lessons are there. They come from God and they never leave us. They never leave us. And so when you think about that principle, what kind of concept? For example, why did Jesus say, do this in remembrance of me? Whenever you do it, as often as you do it as a basis of being able to hang on to something. Watch this carefully. If you anchor yourself into something that's beyond you, if it's eternal, if it speaks to who you are, if it grabs hold of your heart, if it gives you something that motivates you, what happens? Those lessons just start getting etched inside your heart and you can't forget them. Look over at Hebrews chapter 8 just for a minute. Turn just for a second to your right to Hebrews chapter 8 and look at with me one verse. Because I want you to see something. Because in Hebrews chapter 8, we get the quote out of Jeremiah chapter 31. So it's a re-echoing of a principle that comes from God, taught by God. All right? So look at it with me. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws into their minds. And watch this. And I will write them on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. I want you to get this in mind. When He starts writing something on your heart, it just stays there forever because you get a hold of it. And I know for me personally, as the years have gone by, He writes things on my heart. And this week, He's been writing something very specific on my heart related to the favor of God and how His favor works, what He does inside of our lives when we choose to be prompted to say, Lord, I trust you to do what you can do. I trust you to watch over every step I take. And his favor begins to rest there. And so in 1 Thessalonians, he's writing to a people, watch this, who have it together, but they need to keep it together. And the way you keep it together is you keep getting better. And I say that to anyone, when your faith is strong, watch this, when your faith is strong, your spirit is bold. And when your spirit is bold, your insights are amazing. And when you get insights that are amazing, all of a sudden you start realizing it's coming from him. And when it comes from him, you get inspired, you get motivated, you get challenged, and your life becomes better. And what happens to each one of us if we think about that for a moment? What happens when he starts etching on our hearts thing? What happens when he starts giving us certain concepts, certain principles, certain things to live by? All of a sudden, they become life lessons for us. And watch this. Every life lesson he writes on your heart, nobody can take away. No one can take away from you a pure faith. No one can take away from you from a sincere heart. No one can take away from you the promises of God. And when I think about those promises, every one of them anchored in the capacity to be accomplished. Because anything he speaks, he can do. So imagine that you're here today and you start thinking, wait a minute, I want God to teach me. I want him to be the instructor. And the truth of the matter is, that's exactly why you get to chapter 4. Because in chapter 4, he begins to echo two or three things that are really, really essential. I want you to see these three eternal lessons before we come to this table that will set in motion your thoughts related to communion. And let me remind you about what communion is. Communion is an opportunity for someone who's confessed his name to now act in obedience to his name by communing together. And what it represents is it represents two things that are obviously very essential. One is our understanding of the lesson taught of the cross. Because the cross taught us that a broken body and a shed blood would set in motion a redemptive life. And a redemptive life means somebody being able to encounter life the way God intended. And so today as you think about that, you see three eternal lessons that are very powerful, very significant. I want to look at them very quickly. Number one, we are loved by God. Then that gives us the ability to be able to love others. When we are loved by God, we can love others. And I want you to see this. Look, if you would, what he says here, verse 9. Now, as the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write you. For you yourselves are taught by God. You yourselves are taught by God. And to love one another. And what does he say here? What's your action point? Your action point is he loves you. He taught you how loved you are. And you let him express that love to you as you encounter him. Now, when you think about this phrase, taught by God, what would be the most important thing he would ever teach you? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So the most important thing he'd ever teach you is he loves you. And one of the things that we looked at in Isaiah 43 in our men's retreat, and I would encourage you to read this text because it is a recording of when God says, you're precious to me. I love you. I formed you. I made you. I love you. There's something powerful about God's expression of love. And so today, as you think about it, think about this. You are loved by God. Isn't that a great thought? Because the truth is, you may not be loved by everybody around you. There may be some people who don't connect to you, who don't understand you, who don't grasp who you are. But in the midst of anything, any pain, any difficulty, any heartache, you're loved by God. And when you get that down, I'm going to tell you what it does. It motivates you to be able to love others because it's God's love that transforms somebody else's thoughts and hearts. It's God's love that causes someone to be taught by God because when they feel his love, what is it? It does something inside of them. They feel his presence. They feel the transforming impact that happens inside of someone's heart and life. And this week someone wrote me and said, what do you feel when you baptize somebody? And it's interesting because they sent that note. And the more I thought about that question, the more I realize that what I feel the most is the love of God because God loved that person enough to let them realize they needed Christ inside their heart and Jesus inside their heart gave them a chance to be able to live life the way he intended. Taught by God how to love. Isn't it a great lesson? Lesson number two. Now, look if you would. Verse 10. For indeed you do practice it towards all the brethren who are in Macedonia, but we urge you, brethren, to excel still more. That phrase, excel still more, great eternal lesson. Because what it really says is, we're challenged to never stop learning. We're challenged to never surrender the capacity to say, Lord, I trust you in the midst of whatever it is I'm facing. And he used this phrase, excel still more, which has to do with the idea of excellence. In other words, you excel, you become excellent at what you're doing, you accomplish more things. And what he was trying to say was, what happens to all of us is if we keep learning, watch this, we become more like him. We become more like him, our lives are more transformed. And people begin to see Christ in us. And I want you to think about what happened today. If you came into church and you got a hold of these thoughts, okay, wait a minute now. I mean, I'm loved by God, but he wants me to keep learning. He wants me to keep improving. He wants me to keep excelling. I mean, think about that. Think about every marriage represented in this room. What would happen? What would happen if every person married to somebody in this room said, I'm going to love you more because he loves me. I'm going to learn how to bless you more because he's teaching me. And you keep improving. What if every person in this room, in their faith walk, they came to church today and got reminded of something? God loves you. God loves you. And when you get a hold of that, I was talking to my buddy Chad back here before church, and he's a big Ohio State fan, and anybody who watches football realizes that Oklahoma crushed them beyond pieces on their home field. And I looked at, you know what the truth of the matter is? That's nothing eternal. They may run the table the rest of the year. That may be the greatest lesson they learn, is getting beat once on their own field. Here's what I want you to see. Sometimes in life, we get beat on our own field. We get beat on our own field. And how I thank God that Chad got out of bed and came to church today after defeat. Some people, they don't learn a lesson. You know what they do? They stay home all weekend. Oh, my team lost. Hey, look, Urban Meyer's not worried about whether you're weeping or not. Nobody's worried because they got the next game. And what I want you to see today in life, weeping may last for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Amen? That's an eternal lesson. Sorry, Chad, I'd pick on you, but it's a great illustration of how sometimes we get defeated, we get overwhelmed, we get knocked down, and then we start saying, you know what, I can learn a lesson here. And so here's what I want you to see. If you got beat this week sometime, take away from this, you keep improving. If somebody gave you a headache at work, set aside the headache and learn the principle. And that is, it's only God who ultimately does the math of your accomplishments. It's only God who recognizes what it is you're doing in your life. And so as you do that, something begins to happen. It takes you to lesson number three. All right. First of all, you're taught by God. Secondly, you got to keep learning. And the third and final lesson is this. Look, if you would, verse 11 and 12. Make it your ambition, which has to do with your eagerness, what you're willing to do. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. Attend to your own business and work with your hand, just as we commanded you, so that you will behave properly towards outsiders and not be in any need. You know what's interesting about this lesson? We are commanded, watch this, to take responsibility for ourselves. And I'm going to show you something that's really key about life. Everybody can fault somebody to cause them not to accomplish what God intended. Everyone can say, well, you know, I had this factor when I was growing up, or I was handicapped by this issue, or I was challenged by this, or somebody took this away from me, and I feel like I'm in a minus versus a plus. And what happened? What he says here is, don't spend your life, watch this, don't spend your life having an ambition to blame somebody else for what it is you're missing in life. It was not God's intent for us to sit around saying, you know what, man, I tell you, if I had just been raised in this, I got blessed on a men's retreat. Because at around the campfire, around the fires we had on the retreat, there was one man who shared the story of his father. And it was the most mesmerizing moment that I've had in I don't know when. Because as he began to speak about this fine, fantastic, godly dad, it inspired me to think about my early days of growing up. And growing up, and he talked about the embrace of his father and the love of his father. And it reminded me of how much I longed for that as a child. But it's interesting because the eternal lesson is this. When God the Father embraced me, he never let me go. He held on to me forever. And what I want you to see today is this. When you start working towards following this command, we're commanded to take responsibility for ourselves. Wouldn't it be great if everyone in here laid down everything that was an excuse, everything that incapacitated them from believing and trusting, and said, you know what, I'm no longer going to let that be a part of my story. That's not going to hold me back. Because by the way, Everything you live through should be a source of motivation, not misery. Everything you've lived through ought to motivate you to be better. It ought to motivate you to become a man or woman God wants you to be. Not sitting around in misery going, oh, man, I tell you, it's been a really rough life. Listen carefully. Listen. People are not interested in victims. They're interested in victorious servants of God. All right? So if your story links into every way that, and by the way, I do empathize with pain and difficulty and heartache. I do recognize that. But if you listen carefully to how I try to say things, I always try to say to you, listen, it's not going to overcome you. It's not going to overwhelm you. And it's interesting because here's what you learn, especially in the New Testament. And it's echoed over and over again, especially when you get to Revelation. Blessed are those who overcome. Blessed are those who overcome. What was he trying to say? He was trying to say something. Whatever it is you face in life, you can make it through it if your eyes are fixed on him. But if you don't keep your eyes fixed on him, you're in trouble. So as we come to this table, and we come with three thoughts in mind. Get these thoughts together, and then I'll ask our men to come. Three very quick thoughts. First of all, you have to consider his love. Because as you come to this table, you got to think about how much he loves you. I don't know how many people you have in your life who would die for you. But I can tell you this, one already has, and his name is Jesus. Secondly, not just consider his love, let him challenge our hearts today. Not tomorrow, the next day, not next month, not next week. Let him challenge our hearts today. And as he challenges our heart, something happened inside of us. Thirdly, let's be willing to focus our lives on what it is God has for us, because he has etched on our hearts lessons that last for a lifetime. Wouldn't it be amazing if God used those things to change our hearts forever? As our men are coming, we come to the table. As we come to the table, remind you again, this is an opportunity for everyone in the room to learn a lesson that's been etched eternally inside of their hearts and lives. Because everyone coming who serves you, one of these elements, they're serving something to you as an expression of God's provision and lesson that they've been taught by God to operate with. And so what communion is all about is an opportunity for us to hold in our hand the symbolic representation of God's eternal sacrifice. So what I want you to do today is you hold these elements, hold on to that bread, hold on to that juice, and let it be a reminder to you. This body was broken for me. What a lesson. This blood was shed for me. And when you get there, something powerful will begin to happen inside of your life and your story. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you that we come knowing that this is a communing moment. It's bringing our family together. And whether someone here is a member or not, if their heart belongs to Jesus, this table is for them. This is not a one-heart table. This is the Lord's table. It's a table you call people to. At that Last Supper, and you said, you do this. You remember who I am. You remember what I've done. You remember how I've worked. You remember what I want to accomplish through you. And Lord, as I think about that, I pray in Jesus' name that you would bless every person and may they experience your provision. We entrust this to you in Christ's name. Amen.